School is back and doorbusters are in session at JCPenney. Score best-in-class deals for your whole crew, like $6.99 tees and $21.99 denim from Arizona Jean Company. Spice up your new space with Cook's Kitchen Essentials starting at $19.99. Hurry in store while they last, or buy online now, pick up curbside later. Shopping is back and the savings are too. JCPenney. Doorbusters valid on select styles through 8/3. Exclusions apply. See store or jcp.com for details.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed this is the voice of the Christian resistance on this 28th day, right, of July 2022?
Yes.
All right, we have a full studio tonight, but our producer, none other, is Courageous Craig.
Good evening, everybody.
There you go. Now, right here, we have a studio that is full right now. We at a minimal fee of $500 per mic, we want to...
Never seen it so full.
Uh-oh.
They think it's funny. Lock the door, Lisa. Okay. All righty, there you go. We have from right to right, because there is no left in this studio. No left is not allowed or tolerated. You hear that? Not allowed or tolerated. We're not politically correct here, right? Okay.
Like
we only have two genders here, male and female. Only two are recognized. Alrighty, we have from right to right, Jolene Austin.
Hello, Pastor. Thank you so much for having me on.
Alrighty, Troy Discaskill.
Thank you. Thank you, and I'm happy to be here. Good show.
Marcy Shea.
Thanks, Pastor.
Well, you know these two. You know what happened? They did their own program. Now they come sneaking back in here trying to get my seat right now. We have
insurrection.
We have the first insurrectionist, Larry Bolts and Paul Schiffer from the Schiffer Report.
And hello, I'm the producer of the Schiffer Report, and I paid my way in the door tonight.
Thanks.
And thanks, you admitted sir. That.
I did.
Right there live on Nationwide Radio. There you go.
But my card bounced.
All right. Okay. Folks, I'm going to tell you, it's a strange, strange world we're living in here. We're going to start off with something that's not strange. There's only one source of absolute truth in existence today. It's right here in the King James Bible. It's right here.
Yes.
And here's where we're going to start, because this pertains to what we're all here for tonight. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1, it says this, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth." Now, there's only one nation that's been set on high above all nations, the most powerful, the freest, the most prosperous nation in the entire world. Which one is that? Call America, folks. America. It's right here, right?
USA.
And we're living here. Are we living here because we deserve it, or are we living here by God's grace?
By God's grace.
By God's grace. Now, is freedom free?
Yes.
No. Freedom has to be fought and paid for. And if you don't keep it, like Ronald Reagan always says, it's amazing that the people that have the most to lose seem to do the less to keep it, right? Mm-hmm. And so now here's what he says. So God blessed us. God gave us this nation. God gave us this freedom. Blessed us amongst all people. But what did we do? Well, listen, he goes down to verse 15. See if this sounds familiar. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and do his commandments and his statutes, which I command this day, and that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city. Have you noticed the last couple of years our cities have been on fire?
Yes.
Now, when you consider the looting, the robbing, the stealing, the shooting, and the burning, would you consider that to be a curse? Yeah, okay. Just like it says here, right? What about this? And cursed shalt thou be, and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city. Cursed shalt thou be in the field. Have you noticed something? Have you been listening to the farmers? We're not going to have a whole lot of crops this year. We don't have fertilizer. This is going to be a very lean year. We need to place things up. Now, because we have so much to cover tonight, I'm just going to hurry up a little bit with this. He goes on to say here that the Lord shall send upon thee a cursing vexation and rebuke all that settest thine hand for to do. He's talking about a lot that has to do with supply and demand in the economy, okay? Thou shalt be destroyed until thou perish. Because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. Now, listen, the Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee. COVID, and now they've got monkeypox. And folks, they're coming, and they're going to try to do the same thing. Joe Obama is about to try to push the same old restrictions, the masks, okay? And those vaccines have killed more people by far. In fact, over 92% of the people that have died from COVID are people that are double or triple vaxxed, 92%. So what does that tell you? It's not the COVID that's killing the people. It's the poisonous pokes that's killing the people. Okay, so I preached this past week on hypocrisy, the hypocrisy now and then, and we showed you all of the similarities between the unlawful trial of our Lord Jesus Christ and that of Donald Trump. Now, I'm not in any way comparing Donald Trump with Jesus Christ, but the similarities in the trial, they were unlawful trials, both of them. They only had a prosecution, no defense, both of them. They were both betrayed by insiders, okay? And both of them, remember just about a week or so ago, the chairperson of the, what they call, the January 6th committee, we call it the Liars Club. The chairperson said there was not enough evidence to convict Donald Trump. That's what he said. He came right out and said it, right? What did Pontius Pilate say? I find no fault with this righteous man. So you had so many of the so many similarities, and that's what we're dealing with. So tonight we're going to start out with the ladies here, because we've got two pretty women who are running for political office, and we're going to start with Jolene Austin, and she's running for the state representative in the District 14. So you ready to get grilled, Mandy?
I'm ready to get grilled.
Okay, here you go. The number one issue, top issue, if we go to God's Word, the Bible, what was the first command that God gave mankind? Do you know, Jolene?
To not eat the apple.
No, well, that was a warning. The very first command he gave him was to be fruitful and multiply.
Correct.
He told him a warning, if you do that, if you eat the apple. But that's a good point there.
That's what I tell my children.
Yeah. and folks, but children, if you're listening, apples are really not that bad for you. Okay, but anyhow. So anyhow, be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. He made that. And by the time you hit Genesis chapter 9, where the Noahic Covenant, where he gave us the divine institution of human government, real government, which is real, the divine institution, genuine. He gave you 5 points. Did you know that? 5 points of divine institution. The first was what? To whom it was given. And that's in the Noahic Covenant, Genesis chapter 9, verses 9 and 10, verses 12, verses 15 and 16. To all mankind for perpetual generations, okay? To all living creatures, okay? So that's who he gave this covenant to. Point two was the intent. The intent you find in verses 1 through 4. Man was to govern for God. Man was to govern for God. Now, but here's the point. The third point was the most important. The third point is the entire purpose of divine human government. And that was in verses 5 through 7. To preserve the image of God. And that's where you got the statute of the death penalty. God gives man dominion over the entire environment. He keeps dominion of man for himself. So whoever destroys the image of God, whoever kills man, must volunteer his own life. Okay. Now that's where we got, but that, it has to be carried out by legitimate government. See? And the problem of it is, and in this country here, in Ohio, you've got two groups of criminals, one in charge of the other. And that's the reality. Yeah. That's really the reality, especially in the prison and the judicial system. Then the fourth point was this, the means which man was to govern for God, God's laws, God's statutes, God's ordinance, God's covenants. Okay. And then the fifth point was this, that all peoples and all nations that would be in compliance with the first four would be at peace and not at war with God. Don't know of many countries that are at peace with God today. And so, with that, Jolene, tell us why we should vote for you. Why should we vote for you as a state representative in District 14?
I believe that the best thing about me is that I'm not a politician. In my city, we have absolutely no term limits. And year after year, election after election, it's the same guys getting in. They've done nothing for our residents, and as we continue on, and me and going to the House, especially for the man that I'm running against in the general, it's been a seat that has been passed down. They go up there, they do absolutely opposite of what the resident has voted them for them to do, and we're seeing it over and over again. For example, they are so completely funded by their friends. My guy right now, we're not even in the primary, and he's got $75,000 in his account from his friends. I have 3,000. We're out knocking the doors. It lands up being a money thing. Are we going to continuously vote for the people that have more money than the other guy, even though they're not working for it? I also believe in term limits for everybody, starting from the school boards up. You know, we've got people in some of these offices. They've been in there 30, 40 years. They don't even show up to the meetings. They don't go down to Columbus. The person that's right now who's in the seat that, you know, he's leaving to run for another post. But he's missed more meetings than anybody else in all of the House of Representatives. And now they're trying to put his friend in. So we're trying very hard. We believe that we need to put politics back into the hands of the people. We're done with the lifetime career politicians because that's basically what we have at this point in Ohio.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. So now how can people support you? Do you need to get yard signs? Do you have yard signs? Now you're running for the primary.
Right. I'll be in the primary on Tuesday. What we're asking, we've been out knocking doors. My partner and I, Landry Simmons, who's running for Senate, we have walked over 300 miles knocking doors just from July 1st. My watch gives up after a month, so I don't know what will happen in June and May. We're asking everyone to please come out and vote on August 2nd. They're expecting a very, very small turnout. A lot of people don't even know about it. So just telling everybody, we do have a special election. We need you to come out and vote.
Okay, folks, get ready. I'm going to ask her a question, and we'll find out if she's with us or not. Okay. Jolene, what is a woman?
A woman is me. A woman is two doors down from me over here. We're born a woman. We are the only ones that can give birth, regardless of what the media tells you. A woman is completely opposite of a man, not less. We are completely equal, but we are completely opposite in what we can do and what we can do together.
All right, so here's what the Bible says. The woman is a helpmate for the man, okay? And listen to this. And I know about these things because I've studied. Women can be mothers, sisters and daughters, right? But listen to this. It used to be, back in the old days, that only women could nurse babies. And they were called nursing mothers, not chest feeders, right?
Yeah. Right.
And so when we refer to nurse, and I got to tell you this, because see, a lot of people don't know this out there. None of the Democrats know this. But you see, if you can nurse a baby, and if you can have a baby, then you're not a man. You're a woman. Is that deep or not? I mean, that is.
Pastor, I want to thank you for clarifying that for everybody.
Well, Larry, I felt I needed to do that, okay? All right, now, okay. So now, tell us what your district is. Tell us what your district, or the area that it covers.
Okay, so District 14 covers all of the city of Parma, all of Parma Heights, and in Cleveland, we are wards 16, 17, and 11A.
All right, there you go, folks. Joel, Lane, and Jolene, if you stay with us here during the program, we're going to announce this because we have a lot to talk about.
Sure.
Jolene Austin, now do you have, is there like a number where they can contact you or a website where they can contact you?
I do. You can go on parmarepublicans.com. It has all my information on there. If you're on Facebook, Jolene for Ohio, or Jolene Austin for Ohio, I'm sorry. And most people that have my flyers, or if you look me up, that's my private phone number and my personal email. You can go ahead and call me or send me an email, and I'll make sure to get right back to you.
All right. And who is the other fellow that's running for the same spot?
For the primary?
Yeah.
His name is David Morgan.
Okay. Folks, Jolene is much prettier than David Morgan. That is, again, you get wisdom and things like that right here tonight. We're going to move over there to another pretty woman, Marcy Shea, Central Committee, 27th District in Summit County. And what is Central Committee? We've done a lot of those, but a lot of people out there still don't know. Go ahead.
I'm glad you asked that question, because most people do not know what the State Central Committee is, what they do, and how important they actually are in the political realm. So I actually only found out about the State Central Committee myself about a year ago. I was not familiar with the State Central Committee until then. So, you know, that's very common that people don't know. But what it is 66 members, one man and one woman from each of the state Senate districts. So there's 33 state Senate districts, so there's 66 total. And in the Republican Party, we do know the difference between a man and a woman, so we don't have the problem that Democrats do. So we will know who will be there. I mean, it's an unpaid position. So this is a voluntary position, and it really is the governing board. So it's supposed to set the platform, which they have not done. So there's no platform currently for their whole Republican Party, so you can't hold anybody accountable. I was supposed to manage the books, find and recruit great candidates like Jolene Austin, you know, to run and support them and to help get Republicans elected. That's what they're supposed to do. But what they do is actually use this endorsement mechanism to select who they want to win. So they select an establishment person, and they put out this endorsement, and they mail something to every Republican in the state. And so if you're not endorsed, you've got to fight money that's coming in from the party. So it's party money that should be used to fight Democrats. But instead, they're using it against other Republicans. In fact, they spend a lot of money helping other Republicans. So Mike DeWine was endorsed, for instance, and he got all of the money that came from the Republican Party. They also get cheaper mailers. They only have to pay 2/3 of the mailers. So if you're running as a grassroots candidate, you cannot, you are really at a disadvantage. So that's how they keep control of the party. That's the main reason. So I'm running with a group of other reform candidates, and one of the things we have is no endorsements, that there's no primary endorsements. We can endorse, you know, once the Republicans elected, but the grassroots people should be the people that get to select who they want to represent them. That's the whole point of a primary. So we have to do that. Also, we need audits. So for the last 17 years, the Ohio Republican Party has not audited the books at all.
I know.
And there's at least $3 million that's, you know, funny money. We don't know for sure where it is. They say it's accounted for. You know, it doesn't look like that. And 900,000 of that was just in 2021. So we need to audit the books from someone on the outside. So why don't they want the books audited? You know, your guess is as good as mine, but obviously there's a reason you don't want people looking around at what you're doing with your finances.
I've got a feeling, Marcy, there's more than one set of books.
Yes. Somebody knows where the money is going. Yeah. Absolutely, Pastor. So we're running on that. We have a written platform, so you know exactly what we stand for, exactly what I'm going to do when I get there. The other one is to create a platform. So we can't hold them accountable, but we actually have a platform committee there's a platform committee that they, you know, they have, but they don't actually make a platform. So you don't say, we don't say that we're pro-life. Obviously, we should be pro-life, you know, in the Republican Party. We should stand for that. We should put it on our platform, and we should hold our representatives accountable to that. So we should make that, and we should do it from the ground up. So we have to have a platform. And then there's also no roll call voting. So if you're on the State Central Committee, you do an yay or nay vote or a secret ballot. So you have no idea what your representative that you've elected, you don't know what they do. You have no idea what they're going to do. So it's 34 people are really controlling the state.
And so the swamp is not just in Washington, D.C., is it? Okay.
No, absolutely. It's very, very strong in Ohio. As I think we can see, because we get very rhino, you know, politicians, and nobody would stop the tyranny of DeWine, even though he had a supermajority in the House. We had a supermajority that could have obviously stopped him from doing closing the churches, closing the schools.
Well, you know, they say you got to learn to pay to play. Okay?
Yes.
And that's what's happening. And I am so tired. I am so tired of being betrayed. Okay, I am so tired by the rhinos. So, and I know, again, we've been after this. I've done a number of programs where the rhinos in our own district out there, they sent out flyers encouraging Democrats to register as Republicans to vote in the primary. But they've done this all over the country. And, you know, like in our area where you had 12,000 Republicans and 6,000 registered in our central committee area there, Democrats. Well, guess what? They sent out the flyers, and they had 16,000 register, and only a couple thousand Democrats registered as Democrats. So that tells you what, right there, they're registered as Republicans, and they're running Republicans, and their people are not vetting. Yes. They're not vetting. They're looking up, and they remember names they saw on the signs, or they heard on the radio, and they saw an R behind their name, and that's the whole purpose. There's nothing about the Democratic Party, and it looks like, you know, in the Republican Party, the rhinos, that's not corrupt. It's nothing. We're so tired of being lied to, aren't we? I mean,
yes.
Aren't we so tired?
Yes, absolutely.
All righty, so there you go. Now, we're going to, I think it's time, tell the folks how they can help you. How can they get in touch with you and help you?
Yeah. You can go to my Facebook page. Mine is Marcy Schaefer, State Central Committee, so you can certainly go there. I also have my email, my personal email, my phone number that you can access me for. But what I really need people to do is go out and vote and bring their friends to vote, because it's going to be a really small turnout election. So every vote really matters, because we had that split primary, so there's not that many people that know about it. So if you can get yourself, bring 5-10 other people with you to the polls to vote, we really can make a difference. Everybody that can hear us that is in the 27th district or other reform candidates, you can go to OhioPromiseKeepers.com and find other reform candidates as well that's in your district.
All righty. And that vote, it's Tuesday, folks. It's Tuesday. You've got to get out there and vote. Listen, believe me, the opposition will. So we got to get out there. We got to vote. Remember what we just read. You know, God bless this nation above all nations. But, you know, when these people tell you that you've got to separate your faith from your politics, it couldn't be farther from what the Bible teaches. From Genesis to Revelation, God's Word, the Bible teaches that every prophet, every priest, every preacher, their politics and their faith were inseparable. And none ensued that like the Lord. They were just, their politics and their faith were one of the same. That's the way it's got to be with us. It's got to be that way with us, okay? And so with that, there you go. Jolene Austin, the 14th District, and Marcy Shea, the Central Committee, 27th District in Summit County, folks. These are two ladies that need your vote. We're going to go to a break, and then when we come back after that, we're going to Washington, D.C., because today is going to be January 6th. Be right back.
I had this crazy dream about some folks who love this country, who all began to dream the same dream. And when the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they woke up
find their freedoms and all their liberties had gradually been taken away. And when they realized the danger to their posterity, I heard those patriotic people say, "We want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back." She's been driven way off track. We're wide awake and we're madder than hell now, and we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. Remember golden days when the stars and stripes forever symbolized her glorious name, America. Now it's all been changed, and when we gaze upon old glory, it's hard to fight back feelings of shame. We're fed up with lying politicians and greedy corporations who have sold us out time and again. And we're sick and tired of sending our soldiers off to wars that we were never meant to win. We want this country back. Jack, we want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. She's been driven way off track. We're wide awake and we're madder than hell now, and we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. Cause it's right, and our victory's on the way, and we won't give up the fight till we hear 200 million say, "We want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back, and we ain't taking any more back. And we're madder than hell now, and we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not.
No, we're not going to take it anymore. That's a fact. Some of us haven't been taking it at all. We've been standing up and fighting back for the last 50 years. And so here, I wanted to say this. One of the ways we can fight back is go up on the internet to decertifyfraud.com. Decertifyfraud.com. Now, you can send to all five swing states over 300 state representatives who in 39 days wanted to destroy all the ballots from the 2020 election. They want to destroy them, right? They want to destroy the evidence because they're criminals, right? Now, so what we're going to do is we're going to send postcards. For $100, you can send over 300-something postcards, I think it's 340-something postcards, telling them do not destroy the ballots because of the ongoing investigations. And we're going to continue bringing you more and more of the evidence that's coming out. More and more states now are saying, you know what, I think we got to decertify. And doing what we try to get them to do to begin. What Mike Pence should have done, what Mike Pence should have said, you know what, there's right in front of me, there is a whole lot of evidence that this election, there was election fraud, so I want to take 10 days and take a look in. And before we certify this, but Mike didn't. Mike sold us out, and we won't forget it. And everywhere Trump's been going into have his rallies, Mike Pence has been showing up in the same state at the same time. Isn't that interesting? What's going on there? I've got my theories, but anyhow.
Pastor, do you think Mike Pence is deep state?
Well, I know he wasn't with Trump, right? And by the way, you know, folks, Trump, since Ronald Reagan, is the best president in my lifetime, and I go all the way back to Harry Truman. And so he was definitely, Donald Trump did actually, he actually did what he said he would do, okay? And so, anyhow, with that, and you guys, Paul, make sure that you guys join in on this because we're going to start here. And we're going back to, oh, by the way, we're going to be showing the Doers of the Word Baptist Church, what really happened for the Epic Times, what really took place on January 6th. That'll be at 4 p.m. this coming Sunday, 4 p.m. this coming Sunday, 4 to 6, what really took place in January there. And we've got two folks here that were there, and they're going to tell us what they saw, why they were there tonight. And so we're going to start off with, Paul, you and Larry, and Jolene, just jump in. Just when you got a comment, just jump in, okay? So let's just start with Marcy Shea and Troy Discashel. Am I pronouncing that right?
Yeah, you did, Discashel. Yeah, well, thanks for letting me be on here. You know, in talking about January 6th, you know, one of the reasons I wanted to go was seeing everything that was taking place after the election. And it was very disheartening. So you want to get to D.C. You want to show your support of the Constitution of America. And I ended up having the opportunity where I could get there early, a day ahead of time, walk the grounds, walk around D.C. I hadn't been there since I was in a high school trip. And one of the things I felt right away in walking around the city, it was boarded up everywhere, block after block. Everything was boarded like it was just like you're in a foreign country. It wasn't the D.C. that I pictured. And it was very dark, dark in the spirit. So you didn't feel a lot of hope. You didn't see a lot of energy. It was just very disheartening. And with the tyranny that's taken place, the propaganda, the rewriting of all the events, what I found to be surprising after being there and coming back is that people still only view what they've seen on TV or heard, and the violence and the angry people and the mobs and how it was some horrible event. And again, when I got there that first day, and I walked into the hotel, and I'm up on the fourth some floor, and there's every race, every creed, everybody from Arizona, New Mexico, Oregon. They had lawn chairs sitting up and down the hallway of the hotel. They were praying, they were singing, and they were a bunch of patriots that were all one family. Didn't matter where you were from, what you were doing, they were all there united as patriots to get the country back. They wanted to march alongside of the patriotism that Trump brought in, that they call Make America Great Again. They wanted to get downtown. They wanted to see for themselves and rally the support as Americans representing the entire country. I walked around town quite a bit with some other people from the other states, and one of the areas we walked through was the Black Lives Matter Plaza.
Oh,
now,
boy.
Black Lives Plaza is about a half a block long, and it's a whole street, double street wide. And it was filled with riot police, had to be 50, 70 of them. So the whole riot police gang's there, but there might have been two or three skateboarders. There was no Antifa, there was no Black Lives fighting, nothing hostility, nothing at all. Over the couple days of being there, I never did see huge crowds. There was nothing there. But there was always the riot police there. In contrast, at the Capitol, you didn't have that many riot police out there. It was something where, again, you could feel the ominence of something else getting set up. And I did have the opportunity to go into the eclipse, listen to Trump's speech, left early. It was more of a concessionary speech. He did have some high points, but a lot of it was, it's up to you guys now. Run for office, go down there, let your voices be heard to the Capitol legislators to try to make the changes.
Wait a minute. You mean to tell me he wasn't telling people to go hang Mike Pence?
Nope. Not I mean, at all. Never
all,
heard that.
All we've been hearing on NBC, right. ABC, CBS.
Oh, they rewrite
right?
it. Yeah, they rewrite it to where it's all vicious and violent and hateful. And it wasn't at all. You know, it was one of those things where, if anything, there was some hope and inspiration in it. And, you know, Giuliani and everybody, we'd heard all of the evidence again of that more has come out now. But even back then, we knew that the votes were stolen.
Did you notice the absence of 40,000 National Guard troops?
There were a couple dozen National Guard troops parked on the 6 to 8 blocks out of downtown to direct traffic out of town. They were not allowing vehicles into downtown. You had to park outside. I heard they stopped the subways. They, you know, they were trying to keep people from coming in town.
There would have been 40,000 National Guard troops there, yes, to keep the peace, but the deep state didn't want them.
No.
Nasty Pelosi didn't want them. I mean, she had those jackboot thugs is what she had out there.
Yep.
And
well, you had busloads of Christians in town for the pro-life movement. They had all the literature on, you know, your pictures of what the baby looks like when they're being aborted. So you had a lot of Christian activity, a lot of evangelists there. I mean, I'm not talking about a couple here in the street corners. There were thousands, thousands of them. They were pastors. They were nuns. And, you know, it was one of those things where everybody's singing and praying together. And when you gathered up as a big crowd, they would start with prayer. And you'd sing the Pledge of Allegiance. I probably heard the Pledge of Allegiance, you know, 30 times that day. And the Star-Spangled Banner 20 times. Amazing Grace 10 times. A whole series of different religions and their songs. It was like being at a Jesus Go Fest or one of these revivals. Everybody there was working as a team together. And
is that what they call insurrection? I mean, I heard of them. That's what they've been saying in the news, right?
Walking after the, I left early from the speech because it dragged on from 11. I probably left at 1 o'clock, and he went on for another 40 minutes. So there was not even a call to arms against the Capitol when he was talking. It had all pretty much taken place. Everything inside, from what I learned afterwards, 9:30 in the morning, according to NPR, is when all the riots took place. You know, those were all the undercover Antifa, probably FBI agents,
a lot of rogue FBI agents were, yes, involved in that, just like they were
just
in Michigan.
Yeah. Exactly. But no, you get down there, we walked around, groups of us were walking around the back, and there's hundreds of thousands of people there. It wasn't little sparsy, you know, few people.
We could see it. I mean, I was watching. I would have been there, okay?
It gives you chills on... Yeah. When you're there seeing that in mass, how many people were there, it was
We had a van ready to go, and Paul Schiffer and I were going to go in there. He was going to do the Schiffer report, and I was going to report on Paul. But anyhow, what we had, the last moment, the driver and the others got stomach flu. If you remember, they got stomach flu, and we canceled it out. We didn't have time to... you know, get it reorganized and everything was all set to go. But it might have been a good thing because I would probably be in jail, okay? More than likely, I would
wouldn't
probably...
wouldn't take much.
Yeah. I've been wanting to go and preach to Nancy Pelosi and and Joey Biden for a long time. But anyhow, I would have probably been in jail. And,
yeah.
And I have a hat that says, that I wear most of the time, it says, America Needs Jesus. And I wore that down... through the halls of Congress here two years ago in hot summertime. There was a group of us pastors went there trying to get help from Mountain Yards. These are people from Vietnam who were tortured and but anyhow, the squat did not like my hat when they took a look at that. Their faces all wrinkled up. But anyhow,
you know, Pastor, Troy, you would agree, it's okay for BLM to do billions of dollars of damage and not a single person get arrested for it.
But you didn't hear Merrick Garland. See, Merrick Garland said this. He said that nobody's above the law, and that's why he's going to prosecute Trump. And he said nobody's above the law except for Hillary Clinton. You remember when she had her lawyer, her corrupt, and, of course, Hunter Biden, you know, and of course, Bern Luton murder or Black Lives Matter. They can burn down cities. Except for those people, nobody else is above the law, right? So there you go. Except for Democrats, you know, and that's right. So go ahead and pick it up and tell us.
Oh yeah, with with everybody knowing that there were permits, there were port-a-pots set up, everybody knew, or at least I knew when I was going there, that there were multiple events taking place. The main one being, you know, Stop the Steal. But what I didn't expect to see, is, there's a lot I didn't expect to see. I didn't expect to see as large a mass of evangelist, gospel people, religious people. And, you know, for me, that was very comfortable. But I was still surprised that there were that many people at a event like that. But there was also, through that Tuesday afternoon, driving around town, 14, 16 different cars parading around. And they had the big billboard on top of the cars. And they were CCP with a big red line through it.
And, Chinese Communist Party.
And they were passing out the literature to get Americans to stop catering to the Chinese. They said, your country is going to become communist. And they were literature, tables, people. I mean, there had to be 10-some thousand Chinese people advocating for America's freedoms. And these are people who obviously came from China.
A couple months ago, we watched it as a Chinese professor who's also a politician in China stood up to a crowd of hundreds of thousands, and he's made the statement that we own the highest ranking leaders in America. We own them. They're bought and they're paid for. He said that, and there was this huge, and he was talking about the Bidens. The Bidens are bought and paid for. The entire Biden crime cartel.
Yep. Yeah.
And some Rhino Republicans are also making a lot of money. They also are on the payroll of China. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So the story goes it was so violent there. It was a bunch of chaos. And again, walking around outside, your cell phones don't work. Your batteries go dead. So we were not getting calls or anything about how violent everything was around us. And again, you got groups of tens of thousands of people walking around, and there was not any fear of violence. We had old people. We had people in wheelchairs. We had elderly sitting in the benches. I mean, hundreds of them.
That would have been Paul and I.
Yeah. Oh, there were a lot of people mingling, you know.
Yeah.
14-year-old daughters with their father there at the Capitol, you know, for this historical event. And halfway through the afternoon, it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, someone got a call, and it was their family members all concerned about the violence. Are we in the midst of the chaos? It's like, what are you talking about? We're looking around. They're bringing Gatorade in through the back of the building to the Capitol Police. I mean, it was like the police are carrying things around. Everybody's walking around. There was no active violence. Outside, when we had approached it earlier, we seen the tear gas. The people up on the stairs, that was smoke from the tear gas, that was the canisters that they were shooting into the crowds.
Well, let me ask you, so then you did not see Donald Trump dressed in riot gear saying, let's get Pence, right? That didn't happen?
Okay. No.
Well, I'll tell you, I was lied to. All right, go ahead.
About 2:30, you know, closer to 3 is when we'd found out that someone had been shot by the Capitol Police.
A lady, a real lady.
Yes.
She was murdered.
Yep. And, you know, that spread around.
By a coward.
That spread around the crowd. And as people came out and got further away from the Capitol, we were able to talk to some of these older gentlemen that had been in there. And you could see that they'd definitely been tear gassed themselves. And, you know, their story is they were up on the stairs. They were singing the Amazing Grace. The Capitol Police were shooting randomly the bullets. The percussion grenades point blank into the crowd. The tear gas blinds you. You can't breathe. You lose all focus. And all you want to do is escape it. And when you have 200 people on the stairs, all being tear gassed at the same time, a lot of them pushed their way into the Capitol so they could get some oxygen. He said he was forced in. Some of the people got down on the ground. Some of them walked all the way through like him and came back out. They didn't intend to be there. They didn't intend to walk in there. There was a lot of other people with a bullhorn shouting, don't go in. This is a false flag. Don't break the windows. Don't do anything. They're enticing you.
It absolutely was a false flag, and we knew that from the word go.
Yep, and I had one gentleman was going around. I wouldn't call him a gentleman. It's a pencil neck. You could tell he was some kind of a administrative person. He didn't fit the rest of the crowd. And he was walking around enticing everybody to meet over at this west door at 3:45. We're going to rush it. We're going to, you know, break in. And the people didn't like to hear that. Most of the people there didn't want to do that. They volunteered. I mean, you have 865 people that so far have been arrested inside the Capitol. And you had, you know, 400,000 or 500,000 people outside. So that should speak for itself, that the ones inside, many of them let in, many of them walked in unrestricted, unbarricaded, paraded around. And again, you see that, what you mentioned, Epic Times. It shows you a lot of the story of what really happened, where you see in the media people fighting the police. Well, part of that, Rosalind Boylan, she was basically beaten by the police.
Beaten to death.
Yes, and she was trying to get away. They were stampeding over in front of this kind of a tunnel door area.
By a racist cop. She was beaten to death by a racist cop.
And they turned around, and the Patriots there had to actually fight the police back to get her out. They literally had to fight their way to keep the police from beating her and the other girls that were under the crowd that were trampled. And they literally had to drag the unconscious bodies out from underneath these police and drag them away. So the media portrays it as the people are beating the police, when in fact they were beating the police back to try to save the people the police were literally murdering. So there's a lot of things in this that it's disheartening, you know, and you could say that you could see the darkness, but out of it, you know, we've got to have this hope. We got to have the understanding that this is, you know, all in God's plan to expose this darkness. So that was it was quite
Troy,
an event.
Explain to us, you were explaining, and Pastor, you were sitting there too, the people who have been imprisoned, that they're not, they don't have any representation, and they're being deprived.
You're absolutely right of
court hearings and stuff.
Yeah, you have hundreds of them, and they moved them around from one federal prison to another. They were not given any representation. They're not getting bail. It's, you know, some of these people are.
What they're trying to do is they're trying to show you, and this is what happens. And, you know, the same tactics have been used right here in Ohio in our prison system. Mm-hmm. I can tell you some stories. Just 45 years I was up on death row ministering up there, and I can tell you they use the same kind of tactics right today here in Ohio's prisons. And the idea is they want to say, we can do whatever we want, whenever we want, and there's nothing you can do about it. In other words, they're telling you the Justice Department is simply now a part of the Democratic Communist Collective. There is no longer an independent Justice Department. Okay, no longer. The FBI is no longer an independent organization. Mm-hmm. It's what Donald Trump says it was. And here, remember when Chuckie Schumer said to Donald Trump, if you go after the intelligence agencies, they've got 6 ways to Sunday to get you, because they've been corrupted, so very, very corrupted. And folks, let me tell you something. If we don't stand up, see, God's Word, the Bible gives us three main missions. Did you know that? The first one was, of course, first and foremost, it's called the Great Commission, Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. That's mission one. But mission two, from Genesis to Revelation, God's Word, the Bible, expressly teaches resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. Failure to resist tyranny is disobedience to God. And then he tells you the third is that you stand fast, you hold the traditions of the apostles, and you don't back up. You stand your ground. And those are our three main missions. That's what God's Word, the Bible, gives us. And that's what we've got to do. And this is the time. God has raised us up for such a time as this right now. This is our time. It's our time to run to this battle. So we hear, well done, my good and faithful servant, someday, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so here and everything, and this whole, when I try to watch that January 6th committee, oh, my gosh, like I said, the falsehoods in that place. And again, you notice that there is no defense, no Republicans. And what are they doing to get, because they've gone in and they use intimidation tactics on these people to make them come out and bear false witness. And God's Word, the Bible, is very clear about mm-hmm. those that bear false witness. That's exactly what's happening. So the idea is, look, through the media, we will fool the people one more time. But I think it's getting harder. I don't think the people are being fooled mm-hmm. as much, are they?
No.
No, I just spoke with this with Troy. We were talking earlier. You know, I'm knocking thousands and thousands of doors, and I'm not hearing about January 6th. I'm not hearing about Roe versus Wade. What the people care about, and hopefully they will come out and vote, is their grocery bills that they can't afford for their family of five anymore. The thought of losing their job. How many of you guys got a restaurant? There's no workers. Yeah. If we have no unemployment, or the unemployment numbers are so wonderful and everything else, these businesses, everyone's still going out of business. They can find no one to work. I mean, where are these people? But we also discussed the Capitol Police. It took them a couple hours to squash what had happened, right? But Portland, they couldn't get in there for, what, 2+ months?
Yeah.
And they took over an entire city, not one building. For months, they couldn't take care of it. So, I mean, what are they trying to put over our eyes?
Well, it's not all bad news. In Moscow, gas is $1.98 a gallon.
Oh, great. I think it's also hard to convince people that they're insurrectionists when they saw people walking in the Capitol between the velvet ropes, right?
Right.
You know, the people that I've talked to that were watching it live were like, why are they telling me there's all this violence? But they're only showing me people walking between the velvet ropes. That doesn't make any sense.
If this was a real insurrection, it would be far. It was a very poorly planned one.
They would have had weapons, for one. Yeah. Where were all the weapons that they claimed these people had?
You would have had professional troops in there. Mm-hmm. Somebody that could occupy the territory. Yeah, this
correct.
Is just. This is just
and they,
it's contrived.
Again, the fact that Donald Trump tried on more than one occasion to get the National Guard in there, and they was denied, because that would have interfered with the plans.
Absolutely.
And so, folks out there, let me tell you something. You are being betrayed. Every time you watch that news by NBC, ABC, CBS, and CNN, and Fox News, News, too. There's only one or two on that whole Fox News now that are not. And we listed those, okay? Brett Baer is one of the worst, okay? Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you guys remembered, but heard this when the whole idea come out, when Newt Gingrich went up, and any time that they tried to say, and he went on with Brett Baer, with Sandra Smith, with Neil Cabuto, and they had to practice this whole thing, had been practiced, what they call the narrative, right? Well, you got to state the narrative. But the echo machine was out, and it was word for word. When they asked, when they talked about vote, the election fraud, they didn't just say, where's the evidence? And every one of them said, like they did that. That was a little part of what they were supposed to do. And that was so obvious, right? Mm-hmm. Every one of them did that. Where's the evidence? And they lied. And we went after them for lying and lying and lying. And that Carrie Lake,
yes.
That lady, yes. She really, I mean, she shredded Brett Baer. She was a lady. She was ready for him, and she just mm-hmm. tore him up. And his face was red, mm-hmm. and he didn't like it. He didn't like it a bit, but he got it. And, again, I'm so tired of being betrayed, by these people. Yeah. And so, anyhow, and we're not going to put up with it, are we?
Mm-mm.
And the patriots that are in prison, now, what are we going to do with these Republicans? Now, they keep telling us that there's going to be a red wave. Well, the opposition and Paul, okay, and Larry, we know the Chinese have different plans for us, don't they? They've got something planned for November, don't they? In November, they're planning on not having an election in this country. They're planning on. And we've been sold out. Our military has been sold out, okay? We've been betrayed by Austin. Are we up against the winds of break? Are we there?
About 30 seconds or something like that.
Okay, 30 seconds? Okay. We're coming up to a break. When we come back, I'm going to keep you guys a little longer, okay? Unless you try to run out on me, Paul. Paul's falling asleep over there.
Paul
okay. He's thinking about...
I'm thinking, that's what I'm doing.
The cow jumping over the moon, right? Be right back after this with more. Don't go away. More to come.
Fight the fight. Take the stand. Light the light. Feel the land. Let's come on.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.